From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of April, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, I'm going to ask you for money, and I'm going to tell you how to make $1,000. That's right, I'm going to ask you for money, 217-244-9455 or willgive.org to make a donation in support of ag programming here from Illinois Public Media, and I'm going to tell you how to make $1,000. You'll have to stay put for that one. We'll also hear today from Kurt Kimmel from agmarket.net and Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Again, the number to call is 217-244-9455, or go to willgive, willgive.org, or if you're on the homepage at willag.org, there is a donate button up at the top page or in the menu there on the right-hand side.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day, 3/4 lower at 439 1/4. July down 3/4 at 449 1/4. And December at 472 3/4, down 0.75 as well. May soybeans, a gain of 1¢ 1/4 at $11.60 3/4. July 11.82, up 4 3/4. And November, 3 1/4 higher at $11.78. Bean meal, $8.30 higher. The bean oil down $1.24. Soft red winter wheat, 13 3/4 cents lower at 608 1/2 for the July. The hard red July down 3 3/4 at 650 1/2. Here to explain what happened at the CME Group in Chicago is Kurt Kimmel of agmarket.net. First, Kurt, thank you for being with us, and thank you for all the service over the years. I know our listeners appreciate it and that your fans will be dialing in at 217-244-9455 or going to willgive.org and saying in support of Kurt and agricultural programming. Anyway, that's where I am today, Kurt. Thank you for being with us. What did happen in Chicago for the day?
Oh, you're quite welcome, Todd. It's been a joy and a pleasure to be a part of the program. I call you the information center there. You do a fantastic job of putting the word out for the people to decipher and follow there. We appreciate you too, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you much. And in Chicago, the word is?
Oh, mixed. We saw a little bit of everything here today. Mainly the wheat market was the anchor today. The European French wheat was lower overnight in conjunction with our wheat forecast. A little bit better rain maybe in the Russian dry regions, plus two, a little slowdown in world demand. Then end of the month, I think the funds are where they want to be for end of the month, but the rest of the world might be wanting to get there. Then two, more importantly, we've had a heck of a run, overbought, due for a correction, and we had the May Day holiday coming up, and you know, it's a pretty big deal other parts around the world. So I think all those factors contribute to the selling interest in the wheat complex and just kind of provide the feed grain weight there. Whereas soybeans, on the other hand, they kind of held in there for the most part, led by meal, talk of port concerns and crushing strikes possible in the Argentina area, the growing areas. And so that kind of provided some support to the soybean complex. A lot of buying the soybean meal, selling the soybean oil on some spread activity. The beans were kind of caught in the middle. Soybeans ran up to some resistance. If you draw a channel or a down trend line there, stalled out there. And they ended up anywhere from 1 to 3 cents higher. So back and forth, both sides. We'll see what type of news comes at us as we kind of move forward in through here. Big thing, rain. I know here locally, we're Bloomington normal. I dumped out a little over 3 inches. You go north of us, a little bit 4 inches. Big time rains. If you look from the southwest corner of Missouri, flip it on up into central Illinois, there was some 6-inch totals in some areas there. So that is definitely a drought buster, particularly too as you go into the northern growing regions. You look at the total in through here, you know, we've got some moisture to work with here at least early spring. West part of the weakness in the wheat too is we had some rain in the eastern part of the wheat belt, but the far west kind of missed it. You take western Kansas, Oklahoma, down into the Texas Panhandle. They kind of missed the rain event. So weather-wise, we're seeing weather guy is going to be kind of popular here for a while. Forecast does show a lot warmer temperatures, but this rain event's going to be hit and miss here as we go through the next few weeks.
Certainly we'll need to follow that port in Argentina. Rosario is the number two exporting port on the planet. New Orleans is number one, and I believe Sao Paulo is number three. So all in the Western Hemisphere here in the Americas. One last thing very quickly from you. What are the expectations for this afternoon's crop progress report?
Oh, man, highly variable. Here in the east, we're done with beans in some areas. Where in the west, they're done with corn. And, man, it's highly variable. Corn planting progress, average guess is 27%. Anywhere from 20 to 33% is a nation. Soybean average guess is 17%, anywhere from 13 to 21. I think we're a little further along than that. And the other thing to watch is the winter wheat conditions. Expected to drop 1% to 2%, 48 to 49% good to excellent. That's twice as good as last year. So we'll see what those numbers are here this afternoon at 3 o'clock Monday here.
Indeed we will. Hey, thank you much, Kurt. We appreciate that.
You bet. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, where we're in the midst right now of our spring fund drive, and I'm asking you to dial a number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support for the ag programming that comes to you from here on campus at the University of Illinois. We hope that it's different than anything else you hear, and that it provides you actionable information, things that will help you make a decision on the farm, whether that be from the analysts like Kurt and Mike Zuzulo and Matt Bennett and all the rest of them, or maybe from the Farm Doc team, including Scott Irwin and Nick Paulson, Gary Schnitke, and oh, so many more. If they make a difference in your operation, if they help you to make good, informed decisions, please, please take a moment right now and provide some financial support to Illinois Public Media. About 40% of what we operate on comes from you, our listeners, and we depend on you because we put it all in the bank before we ever use it. Our fiscal year starts June 30th, and by the time we start that fiscal year, we'll need to have that money right there in the bank. Don't wait. Help us put it there now, today. 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, 217-244-9455, or willgive.org. Thank you for making that gift. And when you do, make sure you tell the person that you're talking with in support of agriculture, or that you write that in the commentary section. Have you ever wanted to lay out field trials on your own farm, whether they be strip trials or checkerboard trials, and maybe do it across the whole of the field? Well, that second part probably would be very difficult, but not anymore, because the DIFM, that's the Data Intensive Farm Management Program, which uses precision agriculture technology with researchers and farmers working together to conduct these kinds of large-scale trials, gathering all kinds of data, vast amounts of data, in fact, on how crop yields respond to input application rates, field characteristics, and weather. David Bullock heads up the team here on the Urbana-Champaign campus and across the United States that has been working with the DIFM, funded by a grant from the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service. And I asked him to explain just exactly what it is.
It's a cyber infrastructure, if I can use that term. It's something that farmers and crop consultants and researchers can use to run experiments, agronomic field trials, on their own farms. Not just run them, but get the data, have the data processed, and get statistical, get advice from the data about how to farm, data-intensive farm management. It involves using precision technology. Farmers can create what many know as shape files that have trial designs on them, much like they'd upload a prescription, you know, from a commercial crop consultant, except it puts the experiment in the ground. So these, instead of being like a small plot trial, which is as big as, you know, a couple of basketball courts, these can be hundreds and hundreds of acres. And farmers can find out a great deal about, you know, you can check. I'm putting 32,000 seed per acre down. Does that seem right? All right. Well, in what years does it seem right? What's the weather? Where on the field do I need more seed? Where on the field do I need less seed? We get data on that. So instead of trying to rely on some on various small plot trials to get data, which are great and have their purposes, farmers are getting data right there on their own fields. So you're getting data from the fields you're trying to manage. And we think we're helping farmers make some good decisions and make more money.
I do want to talk about the larger scope of the DIFM. However, off the top of my head, farmers are likely to ask, one, who does the data belong to? And two, can I do a strip trial? Because that's what I'm used to.
What data are we collecting? First of all, the data is the farmer's data. Okay, the farmers own the data. We will not sell it. We will not give it away. We will not let anybody look at it without the farmer's written permission. We do reserve the right to use the data, the current data, for the next several years for academic research, because we have to show that what we're doing is working. Okay, so we will use the data for academic research, but nothing else. The data is safe. It's in the Oracle system. So, you know, the Russians can't get at it. And so it's the farmer's data. What kind of data? Often, lots of kinds of data. Principally, the most important thing we get is experimental data, which means we change the data of farm management. Okay? It could be a nitrogen trial, right? How much nitrogen do you put in the ground in different places? It could be a pivot bio trial. It could be a hybrid trial. It could be a seed rate trial. Or any pretty much any crop that the farmer can monitor the yield and any input that the farmer can variable rate, we can do experiments with it. And so it's pretty revolutionary. I know that sounds big-headed of me to say that, but I think this can change how agronomy is done. And I think it can change the world. And again, I know that sounds pretty uppity, but I'm not the only one who thinks that. We can get data from farmers' own farms, farmers' own fields, and help them know what's going on. Now, one of the things we do, you always hear about agricultural big data. You go on the internet and there's all kinds of pretty pictures of satellites hooking onto tractors, and they're doing all sorts of site-specific stuff, and then we've got all this data. Here's the thing, and this is really fundamental. If you don't change management and look at the results, you're not going to find out how to manage better. And what field trials do is they change management. They change, okay, how many soybean seeds am I going to put on? And you put different amounts on, and you see what happens. You look at yield. Now, with that, sure, you want to look at electrical conductivity. You want to use, elevation, topology, all this stuff you can get from satellites, all this stuff you can get from drones. All that data comes into play. But think about it. You can take as many pictures in the sky from satellites as you want. If it's taking a picture of a field where the farmer put down 200 pounds of nitrogen everywhere on the field, you're not going to be able to do anything to think about, well, maybe he should have put on 170 pounds. Maybe he should have put on 230 pounds, because that's not in the data. If you want to learn how to manage a farm, you have to get data that changes management. And that's what field trials are for. And there's been a great deal of excitement about agricultural big data. A lot of garbage is garbage. The DIFM is trying to focus on the kinds of data that farmers need to farm better. And we have a pretty narrow focus. We're not trying to grab every piece of data that ever came out of a 1970s hybrid trial. Okay? We are focusing narrowly, but we're getting tons of great data, and it makes sense how we're doing it. There's a tremendous amount of smoke and mirrors going on in the digital ag space and the big data space, big ag data space. And what we're doing isn't smoke and mirrors. It makes a lot of sense.
This prompts a couple of related questions. First, is there a cost to use the program? And secondly, are farmers likely to have the equipment already in their tractor cabs in order to use the program?
Most Illinois farmers do. Yeah, most Illinois farmers, if you've bought a combine, you know, in the past, whatever, 15 years, then you've probably got a yield monitor on there. Okay, if you bought a planter in the last 15 years, you've probably got, you know, variable rate planting abilities. Now, there are places in the country where there are small fields, et cetera. Not all farmers have that, but in Illinois, most of the farmers have some precision technology. Now, they don't always know what to do. They'll tell me, if I had a dollar, I got all this data, I don't know what to do with it. You know, just, and yeah, you got tons of data and you don't know what to do with it. We can help you know what to do with it. Not only that, but our system helps process the data and analyze the data and give hints and give the farmer something to talk about with a crop consultant. Why is this going on in the southwest part of the field? Is that because there's a lot of clay content? We're not trying to tell farmers do this, we're the experts. We're trying to tell farmers, look at this, here's some data, let's think about it. This will start a conversation. Now, does it cost anything? No. I mean, first of all, we give farmers, every farm, $1,000 for dealing with my personality, basically. And but then we also compensate farmers. We can estimate pretty close, oh, yeah, this field lost $800 because they did the trial. Why? Because some of the rates were too low and some of them were too high and they lost some money. Okay, well, we write a check for $800. The program we're working with is the USDA NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service, and they have a program called on-farm trials, and they want to subsidize on-farm experimentation. So one of the things they want to do is make sure that we make sure farmers don't lose money doing this. It's of course it takes a little thought, of course it takes a little time, not a lot. It's not a huge learning curve. It is very doable.
How quickly do you need people to sign up, and can farmers still be involved for this season?
Yeah, farmers can be involved this year. I mean, most farmers in Illinois haven't planted yet. You want to work with us? Give me an email. We'll get it. But even if you don't want to work quite that quickly, if you're going to do a side dress, if you're going to do some side dressing, we got time. You can either go to difm.farm and see what you got. You can email me, dsbullc@illinois.edu, and we'll get you started. Though we can easily do lots of trials this spring.
David Bullock is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. If you'd like to make contact with him to learn more about the DIFM, that stands for Data Intensive Farm Management Program, you can do so by visiting the DIFM website. That's difm.farm, difm.farm, and then hit team, and you'll find both David's phone number and his email address. Let's take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He is at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being with us. I think we actually have quite a bit of ground to cover for the day. Begin here in the Corn Belt. We have had rainfall. Can you tell me how widespread, how much, how long you think it'll keep folks out of the field, and if they can get back in before it rains again?
Sure, Todd. Well, this past weekend saw widespread shower and thunderstorm activity with some high totals in portions of the western Corn Belt, but the biggest, more inundating rains was just outside of the Corn Belt in places such as Missouri, portions of like eastern Oklahoma, southeastern Kansas. Obviously, they grow corn there too, but at least compared to Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, at least most areas escaped the very heavy rainfall. So, but certainly enough to cause some delays in planting. And looking ahead here, generally the next couple of weeks still features an active pattern across much of the Midwest, with some of the most active conditions or above normal rainfall in areas of the Western Belt versus the Eastern Belt. But based on what we've seen with the pace of corn planting so far and soybean planting, and with the outlook here, it still does not appear that the overall planting pace will deviate, not that far from normal. And most areas will escape any kind of lengthy delays just due to the periodic nature of the rain and at least widespread heavy rainfall.
Turn your attention to the southwestern part of the United States, particularly not quite into the southwest, Kansas and western Kansas. Some of the wheat growing regions there, are they still dry?
Yeah, western Kansas remains dry, and some adjacent acreage in Colorado as well. This past weekend, they saw actually some thunderstorms, but of the severe variety, they actually produced hail in portions of the wheat belt, some pretty large hail too. So that's another issue that some of the dry western areas, the wheat areas are starting in Kansas are starting to experience. At least looking ahead, there's no sign of any major relief over the next couple of weeks. So the dryness concerns look to continue there for western Kansas going into May.
Let's stay with wheat. We've been monitoring for a couple of weeks now issues related to dryness in parts of Russia, maybe eastern Ukraine, and the wheat crop there that comes out of the Black Sea. What do you see?
Yeah, certainly the dryness has become very significant and long in duration. In fact, running some numbers here for the Russia winter wheat belt, since March the 1st, rainfall has been the lowest of any year of the past 20 years. So that's been combined with anomalous warmth as well, depleting soil moisture and raising concerns. It does look like there will be relief here coming up. In fact, over the next couple of weeks, several waves of low pressure will track across the Black Sea region, producing significant rainfall and improving soil moisture. Probably not enough to fully eliminate the current concerns, but definitely a more favorable pattern relative to what's been in place the past couple of months.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, where not only will you hear Mark talk about the weather, but you can also hear five other meteorologists during the week, and they're all the best in the agricultural meteorology business. If that makes a difference to you, if the programming content that you hear from Illinois Public Media about agriculture is something you depend on, we hope that we can depend on you too. For financial support, we're in the midst of our spring fund drive. Please make a gift. Do that right now. You can do it at willgive.org. That's willgive.org. Or by calling 217-244-9455. And thank you.